Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
We're driving in. I would imagine you're driving in as well. Mm-hmm. And kind of got it on lock in your mind what we're going to talk about. We'll do a little this, do a little that. We'll talk a little Antonio Brown. We'll talk a little Ezekiel Elliott and this. And then all of a sudden, Dwight Howard wants to look like he is going to be signed with the Lakers. And I know you are Mr. Laker fandom. We've had many of our debates and arguments and some agreements about the state of the Lakers over the last year or so. So I walk in, and you, oh man, you know, what's up? We catch up. We talk about, again, the rundown. Then I said, yeah, and then we'll probably start with Dwight. He said, wait, hold on, what? I said, yeah, this just happened. Dwight Howard now expected to sign with the Lakers once he passes all the waivers, and nobody is signing Dwight. You don't have to worry about that. So if you're anti-Dwight Howard and you're hoping that somebody picks him up off the waivers, you can just cancel that thought. So your immediate thought when you hear that some prominent Laker players, of course, Anthony Davis, LeBron, maybe another player or two, met with them, they've had conversation with them. The team is reportedly basically telling him, number one, the back is supposed to be healthy. Supposedly he lost some weight, about almost 25, 30 pounds, and he's looking good, feeling good, and the team has basically said, we're not in the mood for your BS, so we need you to bring it. You, Mr. Laker fan, me telling you this, how do you feel?
So personally, I'm not a Dwight Howard fan. From his first stint at the Lakers where Kobe Bryant calls him soft and you know, he just couldn't – remember – that's the year Kobe blew his Achilles out.
Yep.
And Kobe had gotten him to the playoffs. So I was like, okay, here's a chance for Dwight Howard to be what he wanted to be, right? He was going to be that guy now. Kobe was hurt. So he was going to be that guy. So I was expecting him to show up and be that force in the playoffs, right? We had an okay team. Bunch of old guys, and Dwight Howard just didn't show up. He didn't show up for us as Laker Nation, and, you know, he wanted the ball. Remember, that was his whole thing.
That was the whole thing,
I want the ball. Give me the ball. Okay, well, Kobe Bryant is going to be Kobe. So when Kobe went down, this was your opportunity to get the ball. It was all you. You got it. You know, you can do the little stiff jump hook or, you know.
Man, that jump hook was
so stiff. Good Lord.
I mean, my goodness. Like, some people even had it semi-stiff, but it still was nice. Like, Chris Webber's, it wasn't the you know, the nicest, but I currently, even just pointed out Cam Newton's outfit
he's walking out with the –
when he had the boot on, he was walking out.
With a pimp hat on, with a scarf around his head.
Yeah, I don't know if he was robbing a bank in the 40s.
You know,
like,
what?
I don't know.
But some players – can kill fashion, okay? Mm-hmm. People always say fashion is objective. You can wear and you can do your own style, but some players can kill fashion and style. Cam Newton's one of those guys. But back to Dwight.
We're back to Dwight.
He wanted the ball, right? It was him. Look at me. Give me the ball. I'm going to rock it. I'm going to do my thing. So we gave him the ball. He did not rock it. He did not do his thing. And therefore, the Lakers suffered. And anyone who can make my team suffer – then I'm not a fan of you. Period. That's just how I feel.
Now, because I know that you are a well-versed man, you are a nuanced man. Is there any part of you that says allows for the redemptive factor? Meaning, okay, that was him. What are we now? 6-7 years ago. You know, from that season, but now he's a new man. He's allegedly in better shape. His back's feeling better. I mean, could there be that? Because I would argue, when we talked about this a moment before we got on, we said, let's shut up and make sure we have this for the air. My challenge with when it comes to thinking about Dwight Howard, so people always throw around the debate of, is he a Hall of Famer? And majority of the people I have these discussions with actually say yes. And then I kind of looked at his run that he had, like a good 5-year, 6-year run. You're like, all right, by the numbers, especially compared to other people, he might be, and especially because the NBA lets guys in. But the challenge I've had when we talk about, so you say he wanted the ball and he didn't really show out and do his thing. Did Dwight Howard max out and we should be happy where he maxed out? Meaning when he came into the league, he was so raw. Literally just all you are is an athlete. There's nothing else. Like you said, you can't shoot a free throw. You don't have a jump hook. You cannot pass the ball really well. You're just a muscle-bound guy who this could work. Actually, we had to put some muscle on you after the first couple seasons. But then we wanted him to be like Shaq, or we wanted him to be this dominant force, that he just, to me, I feel like he wasn't. So did he max out? And we should be almost impressed? Like, here's a guy who came straight out of high school, and now he might be a Hall of Famer? Or did we want more out of him? I'm torn in between, because parts of me feels like, look, that's the best we can get out of this kid who didn't play college ball, came straight out of high school, and now, on that Hall of Fame-ish level.
Okay, so when we can't put him in categories, which was unfair to him, right? He took the moniker of Superman, right?
Man, you talk about he wish he went with another. He was Spider-Man
and Shaq,
Iron Man.
He could have been any man except for Superman, right? Because Shaq had that. The man still had that on lock.
Yep.
And his performance on the court exemplified that. So Dwight Howard comes in and he got hops and he's winning dunk contests and all of that. The problem I had was in an era where there are not a lot of centers in the game, right? He came in 2004, but by the time 2008 rolls around, there are really no centers like that, right? So you can dominate. You can – and the league had been – and I grant it, the league had begun to change.
Yes.
To the long ball, the three-point shot. But in an era where there's no competition at center, you – number one, you should be grabbing everything off the rim and thunder dunking it back, right? Your teammates should know that it's a mismatch every time someone's guarding you. And you should draw them in and be able to kick out to open it up for your teammates. He just wasn't dominant enough. And he, in the middle of his career, his best season was 2010. 23 points a game, 14 rebounds, right?
That's nice.
That's strong to quite strong. But then he dropped off every year after that, right? And it wasn't any competition.
But I would argue he just didn't have a skill set. And I'm not even making excuses up for him, because one of the things that I think you can make up for is effort. You can make up for being a better teammate. You can make up for running a better offensive scheme instead of just give me the ball. Well, first of all, we give you the ball, they foul you, you miss free throws. All right, we give you the ball, they know, hey, here comes that across the middle terrible jump hook. So you didn't become more versatile. You didn't add to your artillery. How we always hear guys say every summer, I find a new move, or right now, James Harden is stepping fadeaway, one-legged, out-of-bounds fadeaways threes. That's like his new move. So guys get new moves. He never got that. He never really felt as if he got much better after a certain point, maybe that 2010 season. And so he peaked. And I think when Kobe called him soft, and Kobe, he does that to people. He called Powell, get your big boy pants on, and, so-and-so and this guy. And by the way, he's Smush Parker still having nightmares. He's just waking up in cold sweats thinking about Kobe. But certain guys can respond well to that, right? Powell said, all right, I might not even agree with how you said it, but you know what? I'm with it. Let's go. Let's ball in to the tune of two rings for those guys. Dwight did not handle that well at all. And whether you agree with Kobe or not, he didn't pick up that challenge and say, I'm going to show you something. And like you said, really, from there on, he went down. He's been on 4 or 5 teams since then. Nobody looks at him as a serious guy. But Ken, the real question becomes now, like staying focused on the now that he is potentially going to be signed with the Lakers, can he contribute now?
So,
can he give them the 15 to 20 minutes a game and have a some type of impact where you go, that it was worth it?
So the current situation he's in now when it pertains to our Lakers is last year at the Wizards, he averaged 13 points a game and 9 rebounds in 25 minutes. I'm okay with that, right? For a non-guaranteed $5 million, right. I'm okay with that. that means we'll get plenty of production for that price, and it won't hurt us. I'm completely okay. If he can bring that stat line, then I'm okay, because that means he subs in, he comes in, he gives, you know, AD a break or whatever it is. I don't even know if he starts. Does he start? Right? And I guess it depends on who you play.
Yeah, because, I mean, you could say no, but then it's like, so does that mean JaVale starting?
I would much rather JaVale McGee start.
And not to mention the familiarity. He's already been there a year.
So yeah, but you got to realize JaVale McGee was having his best year.
He played very well.
For the first, you know, 2-3 months of the season before Tyson Chandler came in, and they started messing with the lineup with him and Zubac, and, you know, they had a lot of bigs.
Right.
Right? So it kind of really took JaVale McGee out of his game a little
JaVale
bit.
JaVale played well, man. He was hitting.
He was balling. He was averaging about 15, 16 points a game, double-digit rebounds.
He fits that. He fits those guys, too.
Right? As a starter, at the first couple months of the season, and they just didn't. Luke was messing with the lineup. I don't know what was going on there, but to have Dwight Howard come in and give us those type of minutes, right? 20, 25 minutes a game, you can put up 12 points, you grab 10 rebounds. That's good for us. We're going to miss Boogie Cousins because he was young, coming off injury, but that's 25 and 12 all day long. We don't have that. Okay, I get it. Now, Dwight at this point in his career, at this price, is an okay fit for the Lakers, and it's non-guaranteed.
So, okay, but now you're selling me like you're all right with this. Initially, you said I didn't want that guy on my team.
I did not.
Then he's, check the tape.
No, I'm serious. But you got to remember, look at production plus cost.
That is a key component.
Right? So now, the first half of this conversation, I was speaking as a fan. The second half of this conversation, I'm speaking as a GM, all right, or a president of basketball operations. If we can get Dwight Howard to come in and give us 12, 13 points a game with 9, 10 rebounds for this price, that's going to bode well for us this year.
I don't even need all that from him. I think that's a bonus. If he gave me a real 8-8.
We need more than 8-8.
But I just
think, We can't do 8-8.
Here's what I mean by 8-8. There are going to be games he gives you 18. You know what I mean? There's games, but there's going to be some nights where
I don't need 6 from him. I don't need any night where I get 6.
But if I got 6, but I got 14, 15 rebounds in a block, I'm all right with that. There's a certain point in your career, like, I don't need that from you. Like, KG realized at a certain point, all right, I'm about to just lock guys up, you know.
Let me tell you this. The reason I said we can't do 6, can't even do 8. I don't want 8 or 6, is because the value of Dwight Howard, what we're going to need him to do is on the offensive glass. This is a shooter's league, all right? Dwight Howard, 6'11", 260 pounds, got the shoulders, got all of that. When that ball comes off the rim, on an offensive side, I need him to grab it and put it back. Don't kick it out. I don't need him to get the ball and kick it back out to the three. I need him to grab the ball and go up and power dunk. That's going to get me in double digits tonight if he can do that, the amount of outside shots that are happening in today's NBA.
I think with the team they have and talking about Anthony Davis, who could give you 25, almost 30. LeBron can give you the exact same amount. I just think you're a little bit more optimistic on the points. The points don't necessarily matter to me. It's more the like you said, getting me those rebounds, getting me that effort, getting me those back rim blocks. That's more what I need. I don't necessarily need the points.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Well, let's talk about the foot of Antonio Brown. First of all, I don't know if I was more mad looking at his feet or Shaquille O'Neal's feet a couple years back when Shaq put his foot up on the TNT desk. You're right, still Shaq. But
feel sick.
Man, you played a game where you need to be on your feet. I meant to ask TJ this as a former receiver. Can he legitimately play hard in every play that he needs to play in a regular season game with those feet like that, man? Because one thing, I'll say this quickly, Hines Ward used to always say, there's a kicker who just makes the what is that, a 30-yard field?
What are you looking around? Like, when they be missing kicks, what are they looking? Do you look down at the ground, shake the foot off? Look, what are you looking at?
Listen, you talk about could not be better, more perfect timing. Look at that.
Look, that's what? Why are you leaning like that? It's not even.
38-yarder, 40-yarder?
Man. Son, you can't play in this league, okay?
All right, so Hines Ward used to go and get pedicures all the time. And he was like, a lot of guys laugh at me on the team, but he said, I make money off my feet. I got to keep them healthy. You know, my feet have to, I need my feet to be right. And looking at Antonio Brown's feet, man, with that freak accident in the cryo freeze thingy, like that, I'm just wondering how, you know, it's great for a simulated situation, right? Because if you watch Hard Knocks, all right, take it easy. All right, we're going to have you do 10 miles an hour. A full-on game where he's going all out, and that's the only way he knows how to play. I'm like, man, I don't know if he's going to be able to last.
He'll be all right. The one thing about the human body, and especially feet, it was just the skin, right? Dead skin has to come off. It has to heal.
It looked awful, though.
Yeah, they look bad. They look bad. And the fact that, I mean, it's his fault that this happened, right? Cryo machines are a wonderful thing. I've been using them for years. Many athletes have been using them for years. You very rarely hear if anyone.
I've never heard it. LeBron stays in one.
Right?
I think so, he goes to sleep in it, like Michael Jackson in an oxygen chamber.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know what happened, but I'm pretty sure he worked out or whatever and then got in there with the same wet socks on.
Frozen.
Yeah, it just frees your feet right away. I mean, it takes less than 40 seconds at negative 200 plus degrees. Nothing can be wet. You have to wear the proper socks, gloves, and for some people, a hat, and you have to be completely dry. And if you can't pay enough attention to those little aspects to help with your health, then
I want to cut him some slack, though, because he's
I'm not cutting
guy,
no slack. No.
The reason why I say that is because he has not been a guy where he comes in out of shape, where he comes in and you're like, man, he ain't working out.
He's a receiver.
Well, he's in shape. He works out. You never have to worry about conditioning. You never have to worry about him when he does practice, practicing hard. I mean, John Gruden is his biggest fan. And through all of the stuff he's going through, the feet, the helmet, John Gruden is his biggest fan. And by the way, don't even call it Hard Knocks. Just call it John and AB.
Okay, so
that's all it is.
You want to cut him some slack because he comes into camp and all of that in shape.
Well, I'm saying it's
wait a second.
Go ahead.
That's why you want to cut him some slack, because he comes into camp.
I don't like how you minimize what I was trying to say. What I was simply trying to say was that you said that his health, and I was saying he's not a guy to have to worry about his health typically. This seemed to be a freak accident. I want to cut him some slack.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
What about all of the distractions?
Now we can have that conversation.
Right? What about not just this year, but in previous years? Right? This behavior is not something new that's just popped up on us. Filing the second grievance, he knew about the helmet issue in March. They knew it was coming. So all of a sudden, you freeze your own feet, right? And now you need you freeze your own feet.
It sounds crazy.
So now you need a different type of distraction, right? The helmet thing is to take away from the fact that you can't perform right now because of something you did on your own time.
So let's stay there with the helmet for a second. So by the way, the second grievance, as you just mentioned, is in. There's a decision that the report is that the decision is already made. We'll hear about it on Monday. And I mean, it looks as if they're, I mean, I don't imagine they're going to change.
It's a safety issue.
It's a safety issue and everyone's done it. And he and Drew Rosenhaus were kind of saying, look, Tom Brady had that 1 year grace period. The NFL, the NFLPA took away the grace period for this season. So there is no grace period. So he may have to deal with it. And also that Drew Rosenhaus's lawyers or his agent said, we pretty much expect him to be playing, basically saying we gave it our best shot. No matter what the decision is, we're going to move forward.
Yeah, but they did all of this during training camp. Do you know that they could have done this in the offseason, in the spring? That's the problem I'm having. You're doing all of this because it's just right in the collective bargain. Okay.
Dude, let me
ask you. Yeah, but you waited. Now you leave, you show up. You leave camp.
You show up.
You come. Like, look, man, I don't need that. John Gruden doesn't need that.
Derek Carr. is the one I'm
Derek
wondering
Carr
about.
Derek Carr doesn't
no
need
report.
It.
And so have you watched Hard Knocks at all this
of
year?
Of course.
So was it, you were in those huddles as just a fan of the game and somebody's watching Hard Knocks. I mean, guys couldn't love him more. And guys couldn't be happier to have him there and excited. And John Gruden, as I mentioned, couldn't you know. Now, Mike Mayock is like, bruh, you either all in or you all out. You know, well, we need you. And so I'm asking you, we use the narrative of this is a distraction. Is it really a distraction? I'm genuinely
yes.
asking you. Okay.
Yes, it is. Because if you continually have to answer the question, what's up with so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? What? You're not focusing on the things or being allowed to focus on the things that really matter. Like, I need to get this team from a 0 to 100 in a couple weeks, right? If you're constantly playing and practicing without your best player, now the focus isn't on getting better and winning games. The focus is on, okay, well, why isn't he here? He did what to his feet? You mean he wants to wear a helmet that he can get his head ripped off? Like that? You don't think that's a distraction?
Well, I'm going based off what I've seen. I haven't seen it. Like, John Gruden seems to not really
you know why?
Care about it.
Because he can't buy into it. He can't perpetuate it. He can't feed into the narrative of he's a distraction because he has to pacify Antonio Brown because he doesn't want this thing to blow up. He knows how much value Antonio Brown brings to that team. They're not going to be able to get to the playoffs without Antonio Brown being at full strength. So what do? You heard Mike Mayock. Hey, look, either he's all in or all out. We going forward. GM can do that. Head coach has to be a little bit more diplomatic.
I got
to
keep him in. So this is going to be like I said, whichever way it goes, according to his agent, he's going to be ready to play. As long as those feet hold up, he'll be ready to play for week one. What do you expect looking at that team, you know, that roster? Derek Carr, who had an amazing season, maybe 3 years ago. We're like, wow, you know, until he gets hurt, you're like, man, this MVP candidate, this team really has something. The next year, they were kind of a sneaky Super Bowl contender, Super Bowl pick for a lot of people, and that ended up blowing up. And so now here we are where they have another additional weapon. Last year was terrible, but maybe you could argue it's John Gruden's first year, so cut him some slack. Do you have high expectations for this team? Do they have enough to really be doing anything, or are we just enjoying the drama now and we'll be having this conversation in, you know, 8 weeks in when they're, you know, 3-5 and it looks like the same old Raiders?
Well, I think that the one thing Hard Knocks does is it places extremely high expectations on your team.
Oh, for sure.
Whether they're ready to take that next step or not. Right, any team that's been when Tampa Bay was on Hard Knocks and the Browns were on Hard Knocks, you got to know these people. You got to know these players and the coaches, and so you get invested in them. With the Rams, same thing. And so now you're like, oh, okay, TV makes things look amazing.
It does.
Right? That second episode when they went to Arizona, played against Kyler Murray, and he didn't want no parts of what they were doing. Right? This is the second preseason game. John Gruden was like, look, he's not about to embarrass us.
Right.
Right? We're getting after him. And so now we're invested in that. So, yeah, you get to know these players. Regular season starts. You want to see all this hard work that you got to witness as a fan pay off. So the expectations are extremely high. There's no real pressure on John Gruden himself because he signed one of the craziest head coaching deals ever.
You could argue any.
He has seven more years. He can win 0 games in 7 years straight. And then that seat may get a little warm. They're locked in for $90 more million.
Man, he won.
Right? So the pressure's not there. But John Gruden, as we all know, has an ego. He wants to win.
Oh, for sure.
He's a Super Bowl winning coach.
Tony Dungy. Sorry. Something was in my throat. Tony Dungy.
I get it. But the bottom line is, look, the pressure's there. You went out and you got one of the top 2-3 receivers in the game. We need that. Derek Carr needs that.
Yeah, he does.
He needs it bad, and to not have him available. But not only that, if he was just hurt, he would just be hurt. But it's not just a feet thing. It's the oh, I'm leaving. My helmet thing is this and that. I'm going to leave. It's that when you're in training camp, you're there as a team, as a unit. Whether you're practicing or not, you being there, you being in that meeting room with those young wide receivers and everyone's looking up to you, and you can bring up and help them. Because at a certain point, coaches, young, especially young players, they tune out coaches, right? You can only be dog cussed and call some of the worst things on the planet Earth for so long by a coach. And you turn to those veteran players and you listen to them. They can help break things down and help you realize things as players, current players, that coaches don't have time for. And him not being there for that aspect of this team is the thing that's really bothering me. Everybody gets hurt. I know it was goofy the way he got hurt, but the fact that he's not there helping the team and supporting the team, all we do is see him pop up and shake hands and, hey, man, hey, how you doing? Hey, what's up? Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. What's happening, baby? I don't need that.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Lots of football to get to outside of the Eddie Murphy. Ooh, nice pass there. Oh, almost a touchdown there by Baker Mayfield. A lot of football to get to, and one of the things we want to talk about is, of course, Ezekiel Elliott and where he is with his contract, and also even Melvin Gordon with the contract as well. Jason LaConforia joins us now, CBS NFL Insider. And Jason, first off, man, how are you, and thank you for joining us. We want to get to Ezekiel Elliott and this kind of standoff, this hanging out and working out and training in Mexico, and now there are reports that they may be able to get a deal done over the weekend or at least by week one. What is the latest that you've heard when it comes to Zeke and that deal?
I've heard since the spring that this was very unlikely to be something that dragged into the regular season. You start talking about the $8 million he's set to make this year, and you start doing the math on missed paychecks and money you might never get back. And the real, you know, the real money and the real game start to factor in 2 weeks from now. And that's when deadlines spur action. I mean, he wasn't going to play in any of these preseason games anyway. He knew it. They knew it. They're not sweating it. He's not sweating it. There's a lot of money on the table, and there'll probably be a little bit more by the time we get a week out or so from week one, get through that fourth preseason game. There is a deal to be done. And at the end of the day, come early September, I think the bird in the hand for him is going to outweigh the potential risk and gamble associated with this actually dragging into the regular season.
What does that do for, if they do get a deal done for him, what does that do for Dak Prescott's deal and then eventually Amari Cooper's deal?
Nothing. You know, I don't really think one necessarily bleeds over into the other to any degree, unless they were to do, you know, some sort of contract that just had ridiculous cap numbers in the first 2 years or something like that. But they budgeted this for a while. I mean, the dirty little secret of the Dallas Cowboys is they haven't spent a whole lot of money on players in about 3 years. Their payroll in terms of actual committed cash to player salaries has been bottom 10 of the NFL for several years running. So, you know, these are good problems to have. You know, 5-6 years ago, their offensive line started coming together. They paid some of those guys. But by and large, they've been making money hand over fist. And it's time to reinvest, and Jerry Jones understands that. It's just a matter of, well, you know, right player, right price. Ezekiel Elliott is as important as any player on that football team. And as much as they're careful what they say publicly about it right now, they know it. And you know they know it because Jerry Jones went to war with the NFL to the point where he was calling for, you know, quietly to try to get the commissioner thrown out of there because he was fighting for Ezekiel Elliott. He was fighting so hard for Ezekiel Elliott because he knows how important he is to his football team. And Zeke knows that as well, and this is something that they get done. You know, Dak Prescott, if he thinks he's worth $35 million a year, if he goes out there and has a great season this year, then he might get it. But I understand Jerry Jones not wanting to pay him that kind of money right now. I wouldn't do so either. Amari Cooper's been banged up this offseason, you know, hasn't done a whole lot in camp. Wide receiver salaries have been going crazy. So that's another one where they still got the franchise tag next year to apply to one of these guys if need be. But I'd put my money on Zeke getting done before the season.
He is Jason Lockenfor, CBS NFL insider. And we're talking about running backs. Let's stay in that position. Let's go to Melvin Gordon. Our own Rich Orenberger, he tweeted out, I'm told that Melvin Gordon is still working out in San Diego. No deal yet, but contract negotiations remain fluid and the Chargers hope the holdout ends. Where are we when it comes to Melvin Gordon?
Not a whole lot of progress there either, but again, that's another one where when we get to September, you know, then I think we start getting a little bit more into go time and you find out just, you know, how stuck in people are in their positions and how much fluidity and mobility there is. There hasn't been a whole lot of progress to this point, but I know there's people very close to him who feel like if the sides are willing to get creative here, there's a deal to be done. Is it going to be a Todd Gurley 6-year deal? No. I don't think that's going to make sense for anybody under the circumstances. And the Chargers aren't going to commit that sort of term to this position. As much as they like Melvin Gordon, his health has been a concern at times. I think there's a smart 2-year deal to be done here, and so do other people involved in that. Now, is it ultimately 2 years, $24 million, you know, 2 years, $25 million, where you basically are buying next year's franchise tag now? You're getting flexibility as a team to use that tag on somebody else if need be. You're procuring his services for the short term because, let's face it, they're kind of year-to-year with their window as it pertains to Phillip Rivers, and you're giving the player flexibility to hit the market and get another bite at the apple well ahead of the age 30, which is, you know, by age 29, 30, let's face it, they're pretty much writing running backs off. So I still think there's a Band-Aid deal that could make sense for both parties.
And what about, let's get off running backs and get to defensive ends. What about Jadeveon Clowney? Is Houston going to pay him or do they want to trade him? I know they don't really want to pay him. You can't have $200 million defensive ends and one with the third of the stats of J.J. Watt. So what do you think the best course of action for them with Jadeveon Clowney is?
Best course of action would have been to trade him before the draft, when the other team could still extend him, when you had more leverage before you had guys like Frank Clark and D. Ford changing positions, other pass rushers changing locations. But I guess they were too worried about forcing out their GM and doing whatever the heck else was going on in their front office, where there always seems to be a toxic culture. So what are they going to do now? Here's the problem. Doesn't really matter if they want to pay him or not. Come week one, he's going to sign that franchise tender, and he's going to start collecting his paychecks because that's the way he gets paid. He, you know, each of these 17 weeks of the regular season, he's got nothing at stake right now. You know, could they trade him before then? They certainly could, but if you're looking at getting maximum value, I think it's going to be difficult because of the constraints of the contract. You could sort of enter into a wink-wink deal with him, you know, if you acquire him in terms of a contract extension, but you can't do anything formal. And, you know, without guarantees, that's dangerous business. So I don't think they're going to get full value for him. I do think they'll move him at some point before the deadline. I'm not positive that it's, you know, before the start of the regular season.
Somebody that I'm interested in, Jason, is seeing, because I'm wondering if the best days that of him are behind him. And that's Andrew Luck. He didn't practice this week. They weren't really sounding optimistic about him week one when they go up against the Chargers. And this is a guy that was supposed to be, and was for the first year or so, the heir apparent to Peyton Manning. We saw great things from him. He's supposed to be the next big thing. And then injury after injury, and he just seems to never be himself. Where are we with Andrew Luck? And can this be the season where he finally see maybe even just a 90% of him?
I mean, it certainly could be. This is less significant than a shoulder. The good news, the bad news is it's been lingering now for several months, and it is putting week one in jeopardy. It's hardly out of the question that he plays week one, but it's far from certain. And is this something that is going to be easily aggravated through the season? You know, that's what nobody knows at this point, and they won't know until he's out there running around in games that matter. But he's still young enough, and quarterbacks are playing until the age of 40. And whatever the faults may be with him in terms of his injury, recent injury history, he's as cerebral as they come. He's a student of the game. His mental reps and what he gets out of that is second to none, and he's in tremendous shape. He's just, you know, his shoulder betrayed him, and now he's got an issue with his ankle and calf. But I think there's still a long, you know, many chapters of his story left to be written, and I wouldn't write him off by any sense by any stature, but it has to. Look, if you're the Colts right now, you're a Colts fan, you're concerned because he wasn't able to do anything all spring, and now really, except for three brief practices, all summer. I do know he's played through worse, for better or worse, in the past, though. And if these were playoff games, if the season was on the line, I think he'd be out there. But knowing you've got a 16-game marathon in front of you, they've got to continue to be smart about it.
Hey, Jason, we appreciate you taking time with us on this Friday. Enjoy the weekend.
My pleasure. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks,
Thank you,
Jay. Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.